The Fulbright Scholarship Program is designed to increase mutual understanding between the people of the United States and the people of other countries. Three individuals connected to the University of Kentucky were chosen this year, among them a 2006 graduate, Amanda Gatewood. I'm Tom Goodell. Welcome to UK Perspectives, Amanda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I understand your first job after graduation was as an English teacher in the East Turkestan region of China.
That's true. Turkestan used to encompass all of Central Asia. It was an area that hadn't been carved up yet into borders or specific countries, and so the nationalities of people there and kind of where their lands lie were really porous. And until recent history, that's how most of the world was, until we've, you know, put borders everywhere. And so East Turkestan is now part of China. China calls it Xinjiang, which literally means new territory. It's their newest colony. And politically, it's really similar to Tibet in terms of massive Han in-migration and really volatile politics.
What inspired you to want to work there?
Central Asia is really interesting to me because it's so liminal. It's a true melting pot of cultures, of the concept that we would call race, and lots of different ethnicities and cultures coming together to mix and mash up sort of in new and interesting ways all the time. So I thought it would be a wonderful place to learn more about.
It's directly between or exactly between Russia and China. So you have both of those influences. Plus you have Eastern and Western religions coming together. So it really is a melting pot.
And it's also heavily influenced by Iran from India, and they speak Turkic languages. There were in-migrations of the Mongols through much of history. So there are a lot of different influences coming together.
So after you completed your time as an English teacher there, you came back to the United States, worked here in Kentucky?
No, I was hired on a public health project in Cambodia. One of the things I'm interested in public health is post-conflict areas and the trauma response to that violence. And so East Turkestan, being a colonized part of China, is very much in the middle of that process. Cambodia, I went to learn more about post-conflict regions. And so Kyrgyzstan also is going through some upheavals. There were several political ones, and there was violence in 2010. So while I'm not specifically going to be researching that, it's an area that's of great interest to me.
How many people are chosen every year for Fulbright scholarships?
In the country, I believe there are 1,600 people chosen out of the country, and that includes students, professionals, scholars, et cetera.
And what do you plan to do with your award? You mentioned Kyrgyzstan.
I'm an epidemiologist, and I'll be going to Kyrgyzstan to do an epidemiological study of the association between breastfeeding and early childhood stunting or underweight in Kyrgyzstan. Most countries in the world that have a low resource or low sanitation infrastructure for people who breastfeed, their children are less likely to be malnourished and underweight because the mother's kind of acting as a water filter of sorts. She's eating the food or drinking the water, and it's going out clean to her baby. But in Kyrgyzstan, children that are breastfed are more likely to be underweight or stunted, and no one really knows why that is. So my project will be trying to tease out the associations, the different variables, why that might be true.
And how long will you stay to work on this project?
I'll be working on my project for 10 months.
And then what happens? You come back and produce a report and hopefully have found some answers to this dilemma?
One of the things I think is really important that epidemiologists do is that they share their findings with the people that they study. So before I come back, I hope to have some results to share, both with just the families that have contributed to the research, but also to public health officials in Kyrgyzstan. I think that's most important. But also I would like to publish my findings in an international peer-reviewed journal if possible.
Is breastfeeding common in Kyrgyzstan? I would assume it is, that formula is probably not as widely available as it would be here.
Kyrgyzstan used to be part of the USSR, and when it was part of the USSR, like most of the world, they believed that breastfeeding was inefficient, unclean, and just like here in the United States, up until, you know, the 90s, people thought breastfeeding was gross, they didn't want to do it. Similar in Kyrgyzstan, they thought that formula was, you know, high-tech, it was modern, it was clean, it was the better way to do things, but in fact, it's not. So actually, in Kyrgyzstan, they don't have a very high rate of breastfeeding. Only about a third of people actually breastfeed. And people that do breastfeed don't necessarily do it exclusively. So they'll supplement with tea or like porridges or other solid foods. So they're not exclusively breastfeeding. They're still introducing other contaminants into their child system.
And perhaps that's a factor then in the stunting that you're talking about?
I think that it might be, but mm-hmm. I couldn't say for sure. I'll tell you in 10 months.
Well, we'll have to have you back for that. Because I definitely want to hear about your results and what you've experienced.
Well, most epidemiology, you don't end up actually finding anything. So I might end up with my null hypothesis, which is there is no association, nothing's going on, being true.
Hmm. Is it, but yet, I mean, we all know, or at least we seem to know that breastfeeding is the best thing for babies. So if there is this stunting going on, I would assume that's holding people back, that people who might want to breastfeed their children are not doing it.
Well, I couldn't say yet how they're practicing and mm-hmm. the way that they consider breastfeeding to affect stunting, if they consider it to do that at all. Mm-hmm. These have been really preliminary studies that have found that. There's not a lot of primary research that happens in Kyrgyzstan because it's not a very flashy area of the world, a place where people want to go. So for me, I'll be one of the first people going to look at this problem, and I'm really excited to do it. A lot of people in the world don't consider stunting to be a very big problem. They just say, well, you know, people in Asia, they're just small. That's not actually true. When we think back to our own history, think of a house built in the U.S. in the 1800s with the tiny doorways and the low ceilings. You know, people were smaller back then. It's not because we're a small people. It's because we were stunted due to malnourishment. And it takes several generations for people to grow out of stunting. So stunting actually can cause a lot of health problems later in life. It's not just a matter of being short. If someone grows up stunted, their organs haven't developed to their fullest capacity. So they're more likely to have organ failure earlier in life. And people who are stunted have shorter life expectancies generally. So there's some amount of natural variation in height, but stunting is a much more all-encompassing problem that affects the whole body.
Now, Kyrgyzstan is in the same part of the world as Afghanistan and Pakistan. You've already mentioned the proximity to Western China. So, and I also saw online at the website of the CIA that terrorism is a concern there. So are you concerned about that? Is the government stable? Do you feel you'll be safe during your 10 months there?
I think a lot of the allegations of terrorism in the Muslim world are greatly exaggerated, especially where I lived in China, East Turkestan. The Chinese government, it's a Muslim region, and the Chinese government claims that the Uyghur people who are typically live in that part of China are involved with terrorist organizations, and that's just false. They're involved in a political struggle within their own country, but in no way have engaged in terrorism against any other country. And the definition of terrorism, I think, is really a slippery slope definition. So in Kyrgyzstan, I don't believe that that's true. Kyrgyzstan has its own internal problems and struggles, just like we do in the United States. But I don't think that there's any risk at all for me being a foreigner in Kyrgyzstan due to terrorism.
And do you speak the language, or will you have an interpreter with you?
I was fortunate enough to be accepted into the IU Bloomington SWISL program, which is a critical languages institute. So for 2 months of summer, I'll go and study Uzbek, which is one of the languages spoken in Kyrgyzstan. Also, when I get to Kyrgyzstan, I'll study Russian for about a month before I get started. But also, the Fulbright program allows some funding to hire a translator if necessary.
Hmm. And so what's next for you after the scholarship program is over?
That's the million-dollar question. I'm not quite sure, because I think that this year, both due to the work that I'll be doing and to the opportunities that the Fulbright program offers, I think there will be a lot of unforeseen opportunities. So where I'll go after this, I'm not exactly sure. I do know that I love my work in public health and I want to stay in the field of public health, but where I will go next is yet unseen.
Well, we will be very interested in your journeys, so please stay in touch with us.
Okay, thank you.
Our guest has been Amanda Gatewood, a recent UK graduate and Fulbright scholarship recipient. Our complete UK Perspectives interview is available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.